Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Speaker Ryan is back being Speaker Ryan. I think he... I'm pretty sure if you'd asked him last week at this time, he thought, well, you know what? I'll start my campaigning on Wednesday. And then lo and behold, he woke up on Wednesday and realized that he was going to be the Speaker of the House, or he was going to go back to doing what he was doing before, because there was going to be a man in the White House that was on his side of the aisle, a shock to many. So he is back today. And I don't know how I feel about, you know, we're hearing some stuff about one of the first things they're going to do is to lift restrictions on pork. That's going to be the first thing they vote on. And let me tell you something. As a person who is conservative, when it comes to the fiscal side of the things, I am dead set against us wasting any more money on earmarks. Earmark something for your area. How can you get some of this money? I have news for you. How can we save some of this money so we don't have to pass the buck along until we hit a wall and realize our kids are going to have to be paying out their ass for the rest of their life because we overspent? They weren't looking and we ran wild. We can't do that. And I am sick and tired of government wasting my money. Wasting your money. And then coming back and asking for more in ways that we know you're asking for money, but you're not really going to pay us back, right? They're that ones like, hey, can I borrow $20? They're like Wimpy. Remember Wimpy from Popeye? Remember Wimpy? Wimpy from Popeye is the United States. Can I have a hamburger today and I will gladly pay you on whatever day? Tuesday? Was it just Tuesday? I don't know what Wimpy did, but they didn't pay him on a regular basis. That's what America's become. We've become Wimpy. We've become Wimpy. And we're going to the taxpayers and we're asking them. And guess what? We are the taxpayers. And Wimpy's saying, can I have something today and I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for it? And Tuesday never shows up. It's ridiculous. That's the first thing you guys are going to vote on, whether or not we should get earmarks so we can have more pork belly spending. If you don't know what that is, if you're not hip to the lingo, because you've just been brought to politics over the last 6 months because a reality show star is you know, taking over the world, if you will. Pork belly spending, earmarks, these are things that are out there where you pass a bill and inside of it is all of this fat. It's all this money that's earmarked for, you know, everybody's pet project. And really what it is you flood your money, this money, taxpayer money, back into your hometown for a bunch of crap that never does anything to actually help a cause. It's just about getting that money there. And it costs us billions and trillions of dollars over decades. Let me tell you something. Every president, every administration, they're all on board. Bush was pork belly. Clinton, pork belly. Obama, pork belly, till we stop doing some pork belly. And we need to keep the pork belly down. And this is the first thing Ryan and them want to do. He says he wants to get to the big things. He wants to do some big stuff. Well, if by big you mean spend the hell out of our money that we can't afford right now, I'm going to ask you to say no, sir. Let me tell you, if you're new to the political game, a lot of you out there have, over the last year or so, you've come to it because of Trump. You're not quite sure how everything works, or you, as I was explaining to somebody last night, the way politics is people in the Beltway and people that are on the radio and people that are here and there, they think that you think politics all day. You go to work, you think politics. You talk to your kids about politics. You and your husband or your wife sit around and talk about politics. Your friends talk about politics. It's the first thing for the truth. I get a lot of people that ask me about politics. When I go home at night, I'm watching TV, I'm talking to people, and I am not, rarely am I talking politics. This year's been a little bit different, obviously. It's an election year, but whatever. Like, we don't talk Olympics unless the Olympics are here. But I say, look, life is a big pizza. You got the big pieces, you got the little pieces, right? And each one of them represents a slice of your life. These are your kids. This is your work. This is the dreams you have and where you want to go. This is your money worries. This is this. And there's always that one little piece of pizza that's super like a tiny slice. And you don't know, I'll just take that one. You know, it's always that because you've had four, but you want five, but you don't want a big one. So you're like, I'll have that one. And you take a little bite of it. You don't even eat the whole thing. That's what politics is, that little bite. So if you're new to it, pork belly spending is a waste of taxpayer money. Was it Ted Stevens up in Alaska who had all of that money for a bridge to nowhere? Those are the kind of things that pork belly's about. Museums that never open, roads to nowhere, monuments that are a waste of time and money and effort and benefit nobody. And who pays for it? Us. Speaker Ryan did speak today on how he's going to fix America's problems.
This is something we're ready to do, and this is something we're going to look back upon as a moment where we met the moment the way it needed to be met, by confronting America's problems and fixing them so that all of our citizens are better off.
That sounds great. I mean, you're saying all the right things, right? You're like, politicians, if you watch politicians and you watch athletes, you know what you rarely get from a lot of people? Is honesty in both. And when you do, it's usually controversy attached to it, right? Case in point, athletes, you know, how'd you guys feel, you played today? They could have beat a team that was 0-7 and they were crap. And they're playing a team next week that's 0-9. Well, you know what? These guys are great. They played a hell of a game today. They lost by 60, right? You know, at some point in time, you're taking players off the field. It's so bad. Yeah, they played it. And next week, we got a tough game with the team. And they haven't won a game yet, but they're hungry. It's all about, you know, it's speak. It's professional speak. That's what this is. So all Americans can prosper. So all Americans do this. We're going to fix this. We're going to stop it. When your first thing is you were looking at rolling back this, you know, that's in right in act to stop the pork belly spending. You want to get rid of that. And that's your first thing to do. You're concerned about all Americans that live inside the Beltway and the people that are at home that are going to get you those that helped you get elected. You don't care about all Americans, so don't give me that crap. Don't give me that crap, because that's exactly what it is. At some point in time, and this won't be popular, but I'm okay with that. At some point in time, we as a country are going to have to face the fact that all of us are going to have to look at taxes in a much different way, because we're going to have to tighten our belts. As Dave Ramsey would say, we're going to have to eat pork and beans for a while. We're going to have to get this thing under control. We bring in record revenues. Have you ever seen the record revenues we bring in every single? It's like record revenues this month. Oh, my God. Look at the tax revenues. Yet we're outspending it. We have a problem. Somebody needs to shut the credit card off. We're going to red every single month. We have to get it under control. And by taking away the provision that stops earmarks, that's going to make it worse. I'm telling you right now, the Republicans, I'm looking at them and my fear is, and if you're a conservative and you're fiscally conservative, let me tell you this. My fear is they're drunken sailors on shore leave and they're going to spend every last dime that we have and everybody else has. That is real. That is real. You can talk about we're going to do this for the Americans. You can talk about we're going to do that for the Americans. You can talk about all of those kind of things. But when your first thing that you may do is get rid of earmarks, the thing that says, hey, no more earmarks, no more pork belly spending, no more fat inside these things. When the first thing you're going to do is that, what it shows me is you didn't listen to the people. You didn't listen at all. In fact, you went the opposite direction. You heard what they had to say. You didn't listen. And you're like, pfft. It is amazing. The hubris of these people, the balls on the size of these people who can just wander around and just think to themselves, this is what America wants. America wants me to have something inside of a bill that's very important, but they also want me to have $700 million inside of this bill so I can earmark it for my district, of which none of it will go there. All my friends will make a quick buck here and there. It'll be a win-win for nobody but me and my friends. And we'll all come out one day and we'll celebrate. We'll celebrate the hell out of it. Oh, let's cut the ribbon. Oh, yeah. We got a giant school here that we spent $400 million on that nobody can go to because we forgot to do the environmental impact thing. And we found out there's natural gas leaks everywhere and it can explode. Oh, well, everybody got paid that I know, so we're good. Hey, we're building a bridge. Where's it go to? Nowhere. It's going to be awesome. You know what? Here's exactly what America is. The Winchester Mystery House. Have any of you heard of that? If you don't know what the Winchester Mystery House is, it's up near San Jose, California. Winchester family, the last remaining Winchester of the time, she was who made the Winchester rifles. They became extremely rich. If you've never been and you're ever in Northern California, go see the Winchester Mystery Mansion. She was into the paranormal. She was into the weird and the wacky. And people came to her and told her, as long as you work on the house, as long as you're always working on the house, you will never die. So for years and decades, she spent hundreds and thousands of millions of dollars building things that she didn't need. So when you go there, you'll see staircases that go to a ceiling. You'll open doors that don't go anywhere. You'll open doors that lead to a 20-foot drop. They worked on it night and day, 24/7. The only people that got rich were the people who conducted the seances and the people that built. That's it. And that's the same thing with the United States. We act like wimpy and we ask you for money today because we're going to give it to you tomorrow. And then we take it and we build a bunch of crap that doesn't affect any of us, doesn't bring jobs in, doesn't do any of that stuff. And in the end, we're on hook for the whole thing. Taxes are coming, people. We're going to have to look at it one day because we're going to have to get this under control. And I know people hate saying that, but the truth is, until we can get this under control, what else are we going to do? And if they're going to get rid of earmarks, whew, goodness me. Oh, man, feeling it, baby doll. What's next? We do it all the time at this hour, this time. 20 past, we do what's next. What's next for trade? Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Every day at this hour, we do this. It's called, So What's Next? We've been looking a lot at the Trump presidency. So what's next for trade? Trade's going to be big because this is where he has also put down kind of his fighting words, right? This is where he's laid them fighting words. He's drawn that line. He's thrown down the first challenge. Trade is big. So what's next for trade? Well, let me tell you something. He's a smart guy, and he's always said along the way, it's about negotiation. It is about negotiation. We don't want to get into trade wars with our allies and even people that aren't our allies, but they're not our enemies. We don't. We're a consumer-based nation, and we look at price. So while he talks a big game, I think what he's going to do is look at renegotiating things like NAFTA. I think he's going to negotiate some better terms along the way. And we're going to have to get used to some things may be a little bit more pricey, but it also may be better for us. TPP, NAFTA, whatever trade deals go on out there, understand there will be winners and there will be losers. That's just the way it is. The difference is you hope that you have 85% winners with 15% losers. Sometimes it's 60-40. Sometimes we lose more than we win. And that's what Trump has been saying about trade. We as a nation have been taken advantage of, but that is partially our fault. We're a consumer-based nation. We like to consume. We just talked about the fact that we spend more money, our government wastes more money doing crap all over the place. Why is that? Because it's like us. It likes to consume. It likes to buy pretty things. It likes stuff cheap, and it wants to buy lots of it. That's what we are. We want our TVs cheap. We want our cars cheap. We want our food cheap. We want all of it cheap and we want all of it fast. That's where trade comes into it. China is already threatening to put on tariffs to several of our goods and make it so your iPhone that you love so much is going to be far more expensive. François Hollande of France is already talking about putting tariffs and taxes on several different things that we trade with them with, which will cause us to what? Have more expensive goods and also sell less to them. Because when you start a trade war, you start putting tariffs and taxes on them. Then all of a sudden, boom, our prices rise for our goods, and the prices that are going over there, they rise, so they're buying less of our goods. This is what happens. We can't afford a trade war, but we can't afford to do what we've been doing because we have in many ways given away the milk and the cow and the farmer and the farm and everything else. We need to figure out a way to find the happy medium. So what's next for trade is the possibility of some uncomfortable times, but also the possibility for new deals that may very well be beneficial for a lot more than what NAFTA has. And sure in the hell, nobody knows what's in the TPP, but the possibility is there. So what's next for trade? We're going to find out. It could be interesting, but it could be a little bit more expensive. People texting me about all kinds of things. You can always text the show, 323-538-2423. And it is amazing. Somebody wrote in something, and I thought this was very apropos about Trump. And remember, Trump's whole thing is what? He wants to be for the people. It's about America. It's about the people. It's not about the politics. He said this, texter writes, and this would be a very, very big chance for Trump to become a hero if they put one of these earmarked bills on his desk and he vetoes and send it right back up their ass. If it becomes public that he did this, it would instantly go down as a great president in history. Probably. It would make it even more of a hero if it went back to him and they overrode his veto. Absolutely. If this is what it's about, that is the perfect way to say, this isn't what I got into this for you guys to spend like drunken sailors on shore leave. And if you're a sailor and you've got drunk and you spend on shore leave, you know what, you know what I'm talking about. And if you didn't, well, sorry, just using an analogy here, but this will be a perfect opportunity for him to do something like that. But we'll see. We'll see what he does, and we'll see how much it's truly about the people, how much is truly about American, and how much politics comes into play. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. We're celebrating 30 years of the Beastie Boys, licensed to ill. I'm illin' all over the place. And like a villain, I'm illin'. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Climate change. That is all. Climate change is going to be huge going forward. The fight is on. And I am, I'll tell you this right now where I stand. I am undecided. I don't think, I think we as individuals, we as human beings, we as a group of beasts and animals that live on this planet have, we've done some damage to the planet. There's no doubt. But how much damage have we done? That remains to be seen. Like anything else, you can clean stuff up, and I think we can, but the cause for alarm that I hear, and it is a cause, is the célèbre du jour of the day, the cause célèbre. Ah, yes, what are you doing today? We're fixing climate change. Because it's wonderful, and because I have a man bun, and it's great for us. I'm going to save polar bears. It's going to be great. Polar bears will appreciate my saving them. No, they won't, actually. They'll probably kill you if they have a chance, because they don't care. Chad, they do care. Don't say that about polar bears. And they like Diet Coke. So, there's a commercial. Did you see, Producer Phil, the commercial or the show that's the one with, Leonardo DiCaprio, this climate change movie?
No, I did not see it.
Here's the hubris of him. He stands up there at the UN and he goes, all of this. Now, mind you, he has flown everywhere with his private yachts. And this is the way a lot of people do it. Both. You know, the rich liberal limousine liberals and everybody else out there. It's not just a one-sided thing, but it tends to come. The lecturing tends to come from the left in a lot of this stuff. And he stands up there, and with his hubris, he says, I have seen a lot of things, and only us and only we can stop this, and I can help do this. And it, no different than when, you know, it was called before the flood. Before the flood. Because that's what we're waiting for, right? The flood. We're waiting for the big flood. But know this. We've heard this story before, right? How many times have we cried wolf? Nobody ever, minus the people on the right, right? Minus the people on the right. Nobody ever calls Al Gore out for the crap that he spewed. Everybody's seen this guy. He puts billboards up. I don't know if he's dead or not. He puts billboards up around the country talking about the end of mankind. Armageddon. It's over. This is when the earth is going to end. He's this lunatic, right? And when everybody calls him out on it, and he's always getting called out on it, and it's, oh, my God, he's just, you know, he's this, I've done the research in the Bible, and I've put the numbers together, and he's always getting it wrong because we're still here, right? So obviously he's nowhere near it. But nobody calls, you know, Al Gore out for the freaking out when nothing happens, right? Nobody does. Nobody calls Al Gore out for all of this stuff, for all of these people that are hypersensitive and think the world's coming to an end tomorrow, and that the number one thing that is going to damn us and destroy us is this. It's global warming. Well, we're not getting, well, it's global cooling. It's climate change. Well, the climate changes every day. And when somebody says to me, well, you know, the C2O and the blah, 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 and the, you know, and the CO4 and the 5.3 and the blah, 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 and if you go back, you know, 25 million centuries, you'll find that it was, what? What will you really find? What? Wait. Look, I'm not saying that we are or aren't have caused a lot of these things. I do know this. The better we treat it, the better it is for us. You know, crap where you eat. And in many ways, we've done that. Climate change, the UN has said it's too late now. This is it. It's too late. It's too late. They're already telling Trump, there's nothing you can do. Landmark deal, 200 governments last year. Two decades of torturous negotiations. The accord formally entered force on November 4th. Swift ratification. What it is, for those conspiracy theorists out there, you guys are, you know, go listen to your Alex Joneses and lose your mind and freak out about this stuff. But there is a, how do we keep, this is the funny thing, is they all think it's about becoming a global world where we're just all together and there is no borders and it's this, that, and the other. Do you want to know what a lot of it is? It's guilt and apology. It's a way for us to apologize to nations for being more successful. It's westernized guilt. We have white guilt. This is westernized guilt, right? We are essentially being held hostage by Cameroon and Chad and several of these other impoverished nations throughout the world. And we're going to help them by giving them money to do things when in truth, they're just going to take the money and not do anything with it. And their people are starving. They want to emerge. But it's a way for us to keep capitalism top of the game, and it's a way for us to always be number one in the prosperous way. It's business. It is. Look, I would love to find alternative energy sources that work and that are practical. Let's put that out there. Practical. Practical. Who wouldn't love the fact that, you know, hey, man, I got this engine and it runs on a banana peel. I know there's some of those people out there, but it's just, hey, I got this engine and it runs on water. We all want something like that, right? We all want a battery. Hey, this engine is great. It's a battery that's the size of a 9-volt and it lasts a year. And it costs $100 to replace. Wow, who wouldn't want that? We want practical. We need to search for energy sources that are practical and that are real, while at the same time, we need to utilize what's in front of us. It's not that hard. And this is where both sides jack the pooch, right? This is where both sides jack the pooch. Both sides can come together and go, look, you may not believe what I believe. I may not believe what you believe, but there's nothing wrong with us with finding a new industry that's going to maybe create thousands of jobs. And at the same time, giving us off this crappy energy, fossil fuels that seems to cause us a lot of pain in places that we would rather not be, but we're stuck there because, you know what, there's oil there. And on the other side, the people who are don't believe in climate change, you go, you know what, I would love to find a new alternative energy that we can get this oil away from this damn oil so we don't have to go fight all these stupid-ass wars. And on top of that, maybe create something. And even though I may not believe in what you believe in, you may not believe in what I believe, we can find a happy medium by saying, let's get off this crap and find something better. But we can't do it overnight. And it's not just going to happen like that. There's going to be a slow change. What the people on the left and the people who believe in climate change is, we've got an economy and a world. To destroy that in hopes of making things better for the world, trust me, that's not a world you're going to want to live in if everybody's miserable, bitching, and poor. That's called North Korea. You want to live there? I didn't think so. And we don't want to live in a place like India or Beijing where you can't go outdoors for more than 10 minutes because you're going to die from an asthma attack and you don't even have asthma. The happy medium's there. And this is my frustration with the way that we operate in this country. We make everything partisan and not bipartisan. We fight over every little thing without realizing that we can have a lot of nice things and we can do smart things and we can do things that not only benefit us, but also benefit the environment, also benefit others. There's nothing wrong with that. Climate change all the time. It does. And I don't know if I buy into it, but what I do know is there's a lot of places out there where it's nasty, and we've created that. It's man-made nasty. Now, whether it's destroying the environment, it's destroying the environment around it, I know. But understand, the Earth is strong. At some point in time, she'll get sick and tired of us. She'll unleash some sort of virus that'll wipe us out, and she'll move on to some other thing. If that's what she wants to do. We can be smart. That's the thing. We can be healthy and smart. I tell people who are conservatives, I don't buy into it. Well, I said, I don't buy into it either. But you know what? How great would it be to look at Saudi Arabia and to look at all of these countries and say, you know what? Keep that oil. Keep it all you want. Enjoy it. Because we found a battery that runs on fish turds, and it is amazing. And it's going to work like there's no tomorrow. And all it takes is a $50 fix at a car shop, and this thing's going to just boom. And it's going to change the world. And it's going to revolutionize everything. It's going to start a new industry, and we're going to be rocking and rolling. And those fossil fuels that we fight over, those fossil fuels that rise and sink and this, that, and the other as far as prices go, and it hurts you at the pump 1 week, and the next week you're like, man, I hit the lottery because it's only $2 for gas. That's all going to be out the window. They can fight over whatever the hell they want to fight over. And wouldn't it be great to say, wow, I'm saving money? How great would it be if you had an extra $100 a week or $200 a week in your pocket? Huge, right? Extra $300-$400 a month. You have to put gas in. You're driving a lot. You're doing this, that, and the other. We can find alternatives. But we can't cut our nose off to spite our face. We must do it in a very pragmatic and responsible way. Utilizing the things we have here, being smart in the way that we drill, being smart in the way that we have to get this stuff out of the ground. And at the same time, taking that money and looking for alternatives that actually work, that are real, that aren't some pie in the sky, like my car's going to run out of energy and I have to pull over and plug it in. No, we need real ways to do this. And we can. But will we is the question. But I think if we actually come together and talk about it in a very smart and adult way, you'd be surprised how far we get. You would be. Speaking of being healthy, I've got my alternative energy, and I get it every single day from Super Beats. Super Beats, indeed. Blood flow is important. Healthy circulation is critical. We're getting longer in the tooth like a saber-toothed tiger. We want to feel healthier. I want healthy blood flow. Best way for me to do that is get dietary nitrates into my body, convert them to nitric oxide. Boom, away I go. Super Beats helps me do that. Just a quick spoonful, a scoop into some water, yogurt, maybe a smoothie within 20 minutes. Energy up, stamina up. It rocks, it rolls, and there's no crash. Plus, not only do you feel good, maybe it helps you look a little bit better. Phil, does it help you look a little bit better?
It helps me feel a little bit better anyway. I'm not sure, so sure about looking. But, yeah, I get no jitters from it. Put it in water, feel it going through my body in about 15 minutes. It really gives me energy to help me through the day. I don't get a crash in the afternoon. It tastes wonderful, which, you know, like you, I have the palate of a seven-year-old. So I hate a lot of stuff, but this stuff really tastes good.
30-day supply free with your first order. Nitric oxide indicator strips, bam, free to use before and after drinking Super Beats. Make sure it's working in your body. It's going to help you with your blood flow. It's going to help you with that. It's going to help you with healthy blood pressure levels. You need those. Circulation, you need those. You heard it. You're getting all of this stuff for free, but it's not over there. No. Yes. No. Free book called Beat the Odds. And all of this comes to you with free shipping. I just dropped the microphone, but it gets better. It's guaranteed to work or your money back. Booyakah. Super Beats, kids. Guaranteed to work or your money back. Go to chadbeats.com. That's chadbeats.com. Or call 800-561-2677. That's 800-561-2677. This stuff works big time. Guaranteed your money back. Go to chadbeats.com or call 800-561-2677. And tell them Chad Benson sent ya. Say what? Chad Benson Show.
Your mama. That's right. I said your mama.
You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
Say what? Mama. Say what? Say what? That's right. I said your mama.
We're looking at this. You're going to go on vacation. As we know, next week's going to be a massive week for travelers. Where they always say, you know, day before Thanksgiving is the busiest traveling day of the year, at least one of them, especially when it comes to airports. Want to get tickets? Travel for the holidays? You're like, I don't have that kind of cash. Why can't I put something on layaway? Say, what? I know. Well, you can now. There's a startup called Airfordable. AirFordable. Which allows travelers to buy plane tickets on a payment plan. Process is easy. Finding your flight, you take a screenshot of the itinerary, upload the photo to Airfordable. From there, the site calculates the deposit amount, applies its interest rates of 10 to 20% of the ticket cost, and boom. There you go. Currently, there's about 10,000 users, and it shows no sign of slowing down. There's also a company called Flight Layaway, which allows you to do pretty much the same thing. Put your flight on layaway. Lock down that cheap price on layaway. Did you layaway your flight there, Phil? Could you do that, Producer Phil?
No, I did not. Because I saved 20% by paying in full.
Does that seem ghetto-y? Chad!
It seems, you know, if everyone is always looking for the cheapest flight they can find, you know, why pay an extra 10 to 20% on it?
Well, that's just it. I mean, we're always looking for the cheapest price, and I know somebody's going to go, oh, I can't believe you said that. Just deal with the fact that I said it. Just go get over yourself. I don't know. I mean, if you spend, that's a lot of money you're spending right there. Because you think about it. You, like you said, you want the cheapest flight, and now you're going to have to spend an extra 10 or 20%. Because more often than not, if you don't have the money to pay for a flight, chances are you're not rolling in the dough, and you may not have great credit, so you're going to probably have to pay 20%. So your $1,000 flight isn't $1,200. It could be $1,800 by the time everything's said and done.
If you think an average, you know, flight is $300, you know, 20% adds another $60 to it.
Yeah. So very, very weird. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting to see how that works. But I could see if you wanted to do that. If you had the, you know, maybe you got a big check coming in. Maybe, you know, hey, maybe I've got tax money coming in. I could book these flights now, and that way it won't be so expensive. I could see that. We'll see what happens. I mean, it's interesting to see the way that people are going to use this. But yeah, I mean, you know, we're this is America. We like putting stuff on layaway. We love credit. We consume the hell out of credit. That's what we like doing. Somebody tells me I'm going to give. Think about this. You're driving a car that you didn't pay for. You're paying for it now, but somebody gave you that. You live in a house that a bank owns. You live in a house where somebody said, here's your home, here's your keys, here's a $600,000 something to live in, $100,000 something to live in. We love credit. We love to consume like that. Consume, consume, consume. Oh, man. Speaking of say what, weed may damage your heart muscles. Say what? No, man, say what? Yes, weed may damage your heart muscles, according to a new study. Now, you'll probably find a study that says it doesn't do that, but weed may indeed damage your heart muscles. And this is the, look, this is the thing about weed is, and it's the smoking of the weed. This is the thing about weed is, while we look at the benefits that are out there, and I think most people realize it's pretty benign comparatively to, you know, severe abuse of alcohol and other drugs. But there are things that we need to look at and how it affects the lungs long term, how it affects certain things. And I don't think that's going to go any way anytime soon while they do these, you know, while they do these investigations and they really study these things. And that's what we need to do if we're going to ever make lead legal or legal in this country, is they're going to have to do studies. And we may not like everything we hear about it, but we got to do it all. We got to look at everything, the good, the bad, the indifferent. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. You got the C, you got the H, you got the A, you got the D, B-E-N-S-O-N. Text the show, 323-538-2423. Feel free to do that. Say, what? Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.